symbols of the Holy Spirit. A symbol is a material emblem portraying and unfolding a spiritual reality. The symbol of the Holy Spirit presents a reality of truth about the Holy Spirit. And these truths must not be underestimated because of the form in which it is presented. So we basically, for a few moments this afternoon, that when we think about the symbols of the Holy Spirit, one of them is a dove. You know, there's been songs about the dove. God sent his love on the wings of a dove. This can be seen in the description of the baptism of Christ in the book of Matthew, chapter 3 and verse 16. We just want to show you a few of these. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. The dove, in his purity, reminds us of the Holy Spirit. Then in Mark chapter 1 and verse 10, God said, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. When you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all four books have attention to that, I believe it's important because God only had to say something once to make it true or to make it effective. But the dove, if you take notes, it's also in Luke 3:22 and John 1:30-34. The trait of the dove was love. And that's what the greatest trait of our Savior is love. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. The Song of Solomon is a beautiful book just to read. I've got several books of poetry. I've written a number of poems myself, but nothing to be published or nothing to be, you know, to receive accolades on or anything of that nature. But when you read the Song of Solomon and you see how the Lord and Savior compares our Lord to the dove, and because he is pure, he is a God of love. And when Christ comes into your life, there is such a great stillness and gladness comes up over you. Another trait for his purity is, as he said in Psalms, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, but also chapter 6 and verse 9, when he said, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, they praise her. when we think about the purity, the dove was an acceptable sacrifice upon the altar in Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 6, and also in the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse 24, as we look here for just a moment. In the book of Luke chapter 2, notice with me, please. Luke, the second chapter. God says here in the 24th verse, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. God tells us to show the purity. A dove was an acceptable sacrifice, hence clean. And this is a fit emblem of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is clean. The Holy Spirit convicts, takes our dirty life and our dirty thoughts and our dirty heart and washes it pure, and it becomes clean and white as snow, as a turtle dove. What a beautiful illustration to know that this is a fit emblem of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is pure. The Holy Spirit is obedient. The Holy Spirit is so important in our lives. And if you study the Word of God, you'll see that God tells us to follow the leading of the Spirit, because the Spirit of God will never lead you to do wrong. He will never lead you to go against Scripture. So when you have these guys and gals who change the Word of God and say the Word of God can, I can make it say whatever I want because I have freedom in Christ, they don't understand the type of freedom that God's talking about. We never have freedom to change the Word of God. Amen. We never have freedom to rewrite the Word of God. So it's not only a description of the dove, it's also this symbol of purity, but something else that it is as well. Another was peace. You know, when we take the Song of Solomon and we take chapter 2, Song of Solomon chapter 2, you just sort of mark that Song of Solomon. We'll be back a few times before we're over. But here in Solomon chapter 2, verse 12, it said, the flowers appear on earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Now, peace is a fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts and we know what we have in Him, when we know what we have in Him, then it brings peace. You know, I can lay down, I do every night, laying down, not knowing whether the next person I see will be my Savior. The next street I walk on may be streets of gold, but I lay down with peace that I know that no matter what happens during the night, that I lose my life, that in a split second or less, I'll be with my Lord and Savior. It gives you peace. You know, when somebody gets terminal, you know, the doctor say, well, you got approximately 2 years or 2 months or whatever. See, if you know Christ as your Savior, if He's your Lord and Savior, you may not know when, but you know when it does, He'll cross over there with you. See, I don't believe that songwriter that said, you know, you got to cross Jordan alone. I don't believe that personally. That doesn't make any difference to me. 99% of the people. But I believe if you read Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, he makes me lie down in green pastures, toward my soul, so forth. It's just a shed of death. It's just a shed of death. I don't think a child of God is going to face death. He faces a shadow of death because absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, we do. We lose our loved one. We lose our spouse, our sisters, our brothers, and it brings us sadness. But if that individual was a child of the King, I don't believe they actually died. You know, you leave here saying he done lost it now, but I don't. I believe that we just have a shadow of death. Because the real person is not here. The shell they had is here. So I think those things bring us peace when we understand what God is talking about, and we understand that the God is a God of love, he's a God of peace. And we see in Psalms 55 and verse 6, God said in 55 verse 6, "And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Oh, if I had wings like a dove. And I, you know, when God comes, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, I don't know what kind of specific wings that the dove has. I don't know all of that. But I do know that when I die, instantaneously I'll be with my Lord. Another was harmless and gentle. You know, we see in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew the 10th chapter, and I believe the 16th verse. But here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, God says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." The Spirit does not come here to harm you. Amen. The Spirit comes in your life. You know, when Jesus said it was expedient that I go away, if I don't go away, I'm not going to send the Spirit. But if I go away, I'll send the Spirit, and he will abide in you. See, it's the Spirit that generally teaches us. You know, I've had the privilege to talk to somebody's son and you know, our daughter and the dad would say something like, you know, cram it down them. The Spirit doesn't work that way. The Spirit teaches you a little bit, and a little bit, gently. You know, you learn some things on the farm. You don't feed chickens by throwing that corn at them. You scatter them. You gently put the corn down, and the chickens will come. That's exactly the way it is. We sometimes scare people away because we give them things they're not ready for. You know, the biggest mistake that men make out on visitation that I've seen, if I preach on the second coming on Wednesday night, they want to, you know, throw it out on Thursday night, and a lost man can't understand the second coming of the Lord. It scares them. It brings fear into them. But to us who are saved, it's a great message. It's a wonderful message. To me, I love, you know, when I hear about what I preached on this morning about these mega churches with all the little satellite churches, that's a sign of the coming of the Lord. You know, our government falling apart, that's a sign of the coming of the Lord. A great falling away. The interaction in all the sexual pervertings that are going on, that's a sign of the Lord. But we act like, or some people act like, this is all new. Homosexuality is not new. Sodomy is not new. Drunkenness is not new. Drug addicts is not new. It's always been. It just gets worse and worse as the second coming of the Lord comes. So we find that gentle Holy Spirit that comes in and calms us. Be still and know that I'm the Lord.
Amen.
Now, you just stop and think. If a dove was to land on that top of that right there, well, such the least bit of noise and that dove would be gone. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. You know, I'm thankful that God says here in, you know, in Matthew 10, you know, in Matthew 10 and verse 16, you know, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We're not here to hurt them. We're here to give them the word of God, and that's what the Spirit does. I love myself when I looked at the book of Psalms in 68, Psalm 68. Let me show you this. Psalms, the 68th chapter. And we see here in Psalm 68 and verse 13. Psalm 68 and verse 13. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. It talks about the beauty, the beauty. The Holy Spirit is a beautiful spirit. It comes in and it convicts you and it soothes you. Just to know that God has answered your prayer. Just to know that you can feel the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, that's what God tells us in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 15. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. A dove is fond of home. The dove sent from the ark found no resting place. The Holy Spirit finds no resting place except in Christ. You know, a lot of people don't believe this. They just don't want to believe it. But when I was lost, I had demon spirits in me. And so did every one of you. Were you ever being dealt with this afternoon by the Spirit of God or demon spirit? The Spirit of God will not say, boy, I'll be glad when this is over, I'm going out and get a beer. The Spirit of God will not see something that don't belong to him, don't belong to you, and you chub it after. That's a demon spirit. Demon spirits are real, and they're real today. I mean, ask yourself a question. And don't say neither one, because it just shows that you don't know your Bible. Who are you being controlled by? Spirit of God or the spirit of the devil? One of them. I'll confess to you, I'm a child of the king. But there's times the evil spirit takes over. And I think things I shouldn't think, and I even says a few things I shouldn't say. My attitude is not a loving attitude. And you may say, that happens to all of us. Yes, but you need to understand, if you're going to overcome it, that that is a demon spirit outside of your body. It can never enter your body, but it can influence your body. But a saved person, I'll never forget years ago, I think and say, Rita could verify this. Linda, I think she was there when we had Brother Wilson down to talk to the church about the drugs. And Brother Jerry Wilson told me, he said, at times they'd be called to a bar and a man with the drunken demon spirits, and it would take 4 or 5 cops, 4 or 5 men to take down one man. That's demon spirits. They're not that strong themselves. They're demon spirits. Oh, you got to read about the one in Luke. They couldn't hold him. They chained him. He just broke the chains. And when God saved him, the demons came out of him. And demons don't like to float. Demons like a body. They like a body. And what did they go into the hogs? And the hogs come in hogside. They went over their mountain and killed themselves. And when we go in places we shouldn't go, the demons are there strongly. And if you're not careful, you'll leave with the influence. But praise God, if you're saved, that demon cannot enter you. But he can certainly influence you. Devil is fond of a home. As I said, the dove was sent out from the ark, found no resting place. The Holy Spirit finds no resting place except in Christ, of which the ark is a type of. Like when I talked to the gentleman who belonged to a church of not of faith, and he said that the Noah was saved by the water. We know better than that, don't we? Moses worked 120 years to build an ark. You know what the ark is type of? It's type of the church. And they were safe in the ark. And we're safe in the church. The water lifted, but it couldn't drown us. You know, sometimes we want to get so deep in theology that we miss the simple truths of God's word. So we see the dove is symbol of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to get through all these this afternoon, but I just want to mention the next one briefly, and then we'll finish up next Sunday afternoon. It's the earnest of the Spirit. You know what the earnest is? My salvation is not complete. And I had a person who visited here. They wouldn't come back because I made that statement. And see, you assume that once you talk to somebody and they've been in church for 25 or 30 years, they understand that. But earnest, 3 verses teach this, and we want to look at those 3, and then we'll give you something to think about as you go home. But God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, God said, "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Second Corinthians 5:5. We see here in 2 Corinthians 5:5, "Now he that have wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also have given us the earnest of the Spirit." Then in the book of Ephesians, we see in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 14, God says, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We got the earnest of the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in me. He guides me, he teaches me, he protects, and he gives me understanding. That's why I'm not ashamed of this. I try to teach young preachers who say they've been called to preach, and they tell me I'm going to college to become a preacher. You can't go to college to become a preacher. You can go to college and become a better preacher, a more informed preacher. But God calls preachers. Schools don't make preachers. That's our problem now. We've got too many mama called and daddy called and school called. The Spirit of God calls a man as he called me into salvation, and he put an earnest of the Spirit I have. In other words, I've got a down payment, but I am not glorified yet. Tom wouldn't be sick today if he was glorified. Henrietta wouldn't feel the way she does today if she was glorified. But do I believe these two are saved? Yes, I believe they're saved. But they've still got an old sinful body. So God put down the earnest of the Spirit, a down payment as we use. In other words, are you serious about this? When you go by, try to buy a car, sometimes they want to ask you, will you hold that car? Will you give me a down payment? Will you put some money down to hold that car for me? That's an earnest. They give you an opportunity to come back and pay for that car. Well, I've got the Holy Spirit, but my salvation is not complete. But it will be complete when he appears in the air and says, come up yonder. And in the twinkling of an eye, I won't just have the earnest of the Spirit, I'll have all of him.
Amen.
And this old body, whatever it happens, I don't know. Don't need it anymore, you know. But I'm saved. So the word earnest, as we close, is Greek. The Greek word is armabon. It means money given in pledge to guarantee the full amount will be paid later. One day, the Bible tells me I'm going to be just like him. Amen. I'm going to be just like him. You know, I often wonder if we had lost people in the church and the rapture took place and we all go through that ceiling and never move a tile. Say, you actually believe that? I do. Sure do. Won't be a leak in the roof. Then I'll have my glorified body. See, without that glorified body, and listen to this and I'll let you go. Without the glorified body, you have potential ability to sin. Every one of us can sin if we choose to sin. Because our enemy is the body. And I'm always amazed, you know, how much money we spend on something that's not going to last. And so little time on that which we're going to spend eternity with.